damn, all the Axis powers have fallen. Okay. Germany done. Netherlands done. What a wild, wild day of World Cup action.
Was Netherlands in the Axis?
I threw them in there anyway. I don't read history books. I just know America won.
Japan won. Okay, you sound like that news lady from the Bosnia game. Anyway.
What should we call it? What an absolutely incredible day of World Cup action. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to talk about this because this is what we wanted. We wanted a couple upsets, baby.
we got plenty of those. Welcome to the Cooligans Daily Live. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros. No ish today. We are live.
We are actually live. So you can, if you
type in the comments, don't wonder why we're not responding, because we will, baby.
If you're watching on YouTube, feel free to leave some comments. We will pick out our favorites and react to them during the show. Yes.
Especially if they're funny, bro. If you got good puns or if you're just funny, you're going to get on the show.
Don't say puns out here. People are going to go crazy.
Oh my God. Yo, go pun crazy.
You know, deliver any kind of comedy you would like. You know, whatever style is suits you. Feel free.
Can't do prop comedy in the comments. Let's talk about Germany because...
No. We're starting right now with the USMNT.
Am I in the wrong? I am in the wrong.
We're going right, to be... Never mind. We'll talk about the games from yesterday. We want to get ready for U.S. against Bosnia and Herzegovina. So we're going to start there. Let's start with our expected 11s for this game. And I think Alexis and I are both in agreement. We should just go with the same exact lineup from
the first
game against Paraguay.
This is what helped us beat Paraguay. And they, I don't know if you noticed, Paraguay, we bodied them, but they did something pretty spectacular yesterday, which by the laws of victories, that means we beat Germany, right?
Sure, but they also beat us in the friendly beforehand.
but look at this lineup. I mean, I think go back to what worked. I think Christian Pulisic, we gave him enough time off. I think this is the guy that starts for the U.S. men's national team on the left. Ferrer and Balogun, absolute. Hopefully keeps it going, but has already lit up the World Cup with his first few matches. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this back line is probably where we'll talk a little bit, but I'm confident that this team has sort of gelled.
Yeah, and more than anything, I appreciated Pochettino's decision to play Pulisic in the game against Turkey. Obviously, it didn't go well in the end of the game. He got nutmegged, and then we end up giving the game-winning goal away. But there was a little bit of, and not just Pulisic, but Tillman came into the game. Freeman came into the game. There was just a, like, hey, let's not get too rusty.
Did it remind you a little bit of the friendlies where, you know, he was trying stuff out?
No.
Okay, all right. Because I know you weren't a huge fan of that.
It's always the conversation and debate about rest versus rust. I thought it was a good decision to give those guys some minutes, given that the game did not matter. Yeah, the result was unfortunate, but it is what it is. But I felt generally that there was a little bit of a a little reality check, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, we're going to talk about Germany, we're going to talk about Netherlands, the sort of slap in the face, the reality check of like, yo, this is what it's like to play in a World Cup. This is how hard the teams are going to go. We kind of got that already with Turkey, right? So kind of get that.
It was almost like a friendly in the sense of like, see, there's still another level you have to reach.
Exactly. And they got to experience that in the group stage in a game that did not matter. And I think that will pay off.
Gave Pochettino a little something to work with.
Yeah. See where everybody's at.
Raise the bar a little bit, boys.
Hey, you know, you're disappointed, but like, okay, let's forget about that. And now let's bring our level up in a game that will matter. So I think they're more prepared for this game against Bosnia and Herzegovina versus probably some of the other teams that just got knocked out. I mean, obviously, this clip could look crazy if we end up losing.
Right.
But in general, I think they're well prepared for this game against Bosnia.
And, you know, speaking of Bosnia, I mean, if you thought Turkey was going for it, wanted to leave the competition with some pride, look out for Bosnia and their best friend, Herzegovina, because they're coming for you.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm looking at, for me, the player to watch for this squad for me is Matt Fries.
Sure.
And the reason I say that is he hasn't faced a lot of shots on target. He hasn't faced a lot of adversity. For me, I think getting him warmed up, you know, getting him to the point where he's sharp and on point, looking like he's in a boy band in this photo.
handsome.
But to me, damn, he's a good looking dude. Getting him to the point where he feels like maybe he's at the top of his game, as opposed to what happens sometimes when you're playing so well is your goalkeeper kind of feels like they're on an island. You know, they only really get action on corners and stuff like that. So for me, getting him in that state where, you know, Bono was yesterday from Morocco, facing shots, prepared at all times, feeling like they were on the edge of their action. That's kind of what I want to see from Matt Free. So for me, he's the player to watch because I feel like we've seen everyone else have either good or bad performances and we kind of know where they are. Matt Free still, we haven't seen much from him.
Yeah.
Not because they haven't needed
which
to.
Which is, this is where I think Pochettino's biggest mistake was in not starting Matt Freese in that game against Türkiye.
We both were on the same page.
Love Turner and everything.
Do
and
him and I know more than Mauricio Pochettino? I'm not saying we do, but you decide.
It's just a would have given, it doesn't even mean that they would have won the game. It's just like he just would have been there between the pipes.
Sharper.
Just like getting that experience. And
you could make a claim that maybe it kills his confidence a little bit if he does give up like a bad goal or something. But I'd rather see him face a little bit of adversity in that moment and have a few days to deal with it.
The one thing as far as goalkeepers and what every goalkeeper we've spoken to are always like, you got it. You immediately have to forget the last goal you gave up. So if you say it could hurt his confidence. If it could hurt his confidence, he shouldn't be on the national team. That's my expectation and my standard.
That's a good point. But damn, that was tough saying that we really don't have a backup.
Yeah, you know? that's
what we learned in that game.
So
we need you, Matt Freese.
My player to watch is going to be on Bosnia and Herzegovina. I'm going to go with Karim Alabegovic.
Weren't you supposed to be your player to watch be Christian Pulisic?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Been a long morning.
It's been
folks.
A long morning. We're in Houston, everybody. Who are we gonna go? Oh, we got Christian Pulisic. That obviously the expectation, especially after him. We're gonna get to stat in a second, but how many minutes he's played at this World Cup?
I believe it's something around 77
which
minutes,
is not
mistaken.
Ideal.
That's
not great. So that's why I'm glad
it was a good 77 minutes for the most part.
Outside of the nutmeg. Yeah. So that's kind of the
He has one assist in that time.
He's gonna want to step up, and I wish if the nutmeg is just it's embarrassing, but he was also like there was a certain level of freedom that Türkiye was playing with that the U.S. wasn't, right? Yeah. Even though the game did not matter to either team, so that's why even like the fact that Arda Güler was. He kept trying to nutmeg Christian Pulisic. Yeah. The first one he couldn't, and Pulisic closed his legs together. Yeah. But the fact that he tried it again, I think, says a lot about where they sort of were mentally. And Christian Pulisic, I think, this is the game.
Also know it's not a term we don't use in popular vernacular anymore. But Arda Güler was trying to sun him.
He was trying to sun him. Yeah, yeah. He's purposely trying to humiliate him.
Yeah, it's like mogged would be the new version of that.
He got nut mogged.
Yeah, oh my God. Put that on merch right now.
So
you got nut mogged, bro.
We just came up with a new...
It's going to be hard to explain that to people who don't know anything about soccer. But
it works.
It works.
In our community, it works.
Put a little soccer ball as the O and nut mog, and you're good. But yeah, he was trying to mog him a little bit, and then you saw it kind of went through. But also, I feel like we talked a little bit about it's a little bit of a humiliation ritual. Like you got your embarrassment out of the way. You took your first L in the World Cup. Let you being nutmegged be the first L versus you losing an important game.
Right, exactly. So, but the leadership has to show up, and the leader that Christian Pulisic is has to show up. You saw it in against Paraguay. You saw it in when he cut between those two defenders that led to the own goal. Mm-hmm. And we just see more of that. And so the pressure is going to be on him because you know he's going to be targeted, and it happens every game. He gets fouled a lot.
He's going to be kicked a lot.
Yeah,
and
so
he sort of has to deal with it. And at the very least, what I like about this is we don't just want the 11 that played against Paraguay. We want the spirit of how that 11 played against Paraguay.
Have you seen? We were talking about the news lady from LA talking about Bosnia and Herzegovina. But have you seen the comments Tim Howard has made on his show?
No.
He said the Bosnia and Herzegovina shouldn't even get off the plane. That's how much the U.S. are going to dominate and win this game. I'm like, that might be a little bit worse than what the ladies.
You know, I mean, I'm just going to ask every American that's holding a microphone during this World Cup. could you just do something so that all of my friends don't ask me to apologize for you? Is that possible?
Can we tone down, tone it down possible? A little bit?
Remember when all those people hated me? You know what I mean?
But it's also straight. You know, we've been talking about Tim Howard a little bit. And Tim Howard's the homie. I was on the same flight with him the other day, going to Kansas City. But there's a little bit like, if he was playing on the national team still, would he want people talking like this? Players talking like this?
He's told you they're not friends. They don't care. He's not a leader. He's not a role model.
But he also he does say that. But he also says like that, you know, wearing the national team shirt was the most amount of pride that he's ever had, and that every player should hold it with the highest respect. And it's like, okay, well, you should still do that when you are not wearing the shirt anymore, yeah. Right?
Maybe he's just watching Rebecca Lowe get all this press, and he's like, bro, I want to taste it. I can't go back to NBC with her being an even bigger personality.
I can't speak to it directly because I read the quote and I didn't see. Was he being sarcastic? Was he joking around?
I think it was. If I remember the quote, he was saying like the U.S. is playing so good that if I were Bosnia, I wouldn't even bother with it. I think he was trying to
which
be
is
like,
still kind of crazy,
sign
bro.
Of inspirational. But they're gonna rip up the comment, yeah. Right? Think about how streets are going to be talking about nutmeg, bro.
Okay. So we can't lose this game. That's the main thing. Well, we're looking at the tweet, right? Tim Howard isn't lacking confidence ahead of the round of 32. It says Bosnia, they're better off not even getting on a plane and getting into San Francisco because the U.S. got to put work in against them. Okay. I hope I got there. We go. Okay, cool. I got to put work
we
in.
Gotta
against
fix
them.
The prescription on them.
No, but that's
I can see
it's like
from
weird.
Over here. It is. It's italicized.
It's italicized and strange.
All right, we're complaining about nothing. In fact, let's never put their tweets ever up again. let's get out of this. But the thing to me is like he's trying to be inspirational and yada yada yada, and it's like but it's now Bosnia Herzegovina is looking at that going again. We've been disrespected, you know,
especially from him. I'll be honest. I expect a little bit more, more respect to your opponent.
Other side of the coin, though, they're talking about you. We need that. Tell them not to get off the plane. Tell them don't even go to the airport.
Hey, the Cooligans, don't even get off the plane, bro.
The Cooligans said, you know what? Stay in the Delta Sky Club. That's what we said to Bosnia and Herzegovina. In fact, we're not saying that to Bosnia. We're only talking to Herzegovina. No one talks to you. We're telling you stay in the lounge, baby.
So Christian Pulisic has to step up. All right, let's go.
Let's go to Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Yeah, what players are we worried about? Who we think the U.S. has to focus on?
Well, we've been talking a lot about the U.S. back line, right?
Yes.
And how, you know, they've gutted it out. There were some wild moments, but for the most part, they've been able to put it together. We're talking about the starters from the Paraguay. Obviously, the Turkey A match was a different set of players. For me, they haven't faced a level of wiliness, a level of talent, and a level of wise understanding how to play the dark arts and understanding where to be and how to play off the shoulder like an Eden Dzeko. And for me, that is the player to watch when it comes to Bosnia and Herzegovina. I'm expecting that Bosnia is not going to have a ton of possession. I'm expecting that it's going to be those little moments where Eden Dzeko can turn Tim Ream, who's an incredible defender, and this is probably the player he probably wants to face the most because Eden Dzeko is very much not known for pace, but he's a smart player and he understands where
he's
to
tall
be
as hell.
He's tall, but that's on corners that where I'm most worried about that. His hold-up play is going to be exceptional, and he's going to be releasing other players into those counters or attacking in 1v1 against our corner, you know, our other defenders, where I'm not that worried about Alex Freeman and Anthony Robinson, Jedi, but for the most part, he can be so influential in that middle. Can he play those mind games with Tim Ream? Can he pull Tim Ream out? Can he pull Chris Richards out? Can he do those things that create the space for other players to hurt us? If there's one player that can do it that we're going to face, it's probably Eden Dzeko because he's so freaking smart.
I'm not worried about Eden Dzeko at all. I don't even think he's going to start this game.
You saw how upset he was to get taken off the pitch?
Sure.
Dude, I think he is going to start.
We're looking at his age. He's 40 years old. He's not the same player he was.
Him and Tim Ream both graduated high school the same day.
He scored a goal, but it was an own goal. So he hasn't technically scored in this tournament just yet. I am not worried even in the slightest about Eden Dzeko. I think Tim Ream, Chris Richards, Alex Freeman is gonna, I think they,
I'm worried about Antonio Freeman though.
What's he, he's gonna be cool. We're very upset if they lose. Okay. Yeah. I don't think there's much to worry about, but I understand. I think he comes into the game. Yes. On set pieces, he's obviously going to be a huge threat, but the physicality, between definitely, Freeman and Richards, I think it will neutralize, an Edin Dzeko.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. And I think if he is in the game, it is because, Bosnia and Herzegovina are trying to equalize, and
I think they're going to go for a dead ball game here. I think it's going to be Harambal is very popular. Okay, mentioned.
Yeah.
So, who should we worry about?
So I'm. He scored against Qatar, mm-hmm. With a lethal shot from outside the box. I'm pacey, clever, Karim, and I'm obviously not going to get the name correct, but Alag Begovic, he was fantastic in the game against Qatar.
He's super techie, bro.
He's had, he didn't start against Canada. He started against Switzerland, which they lost, and then he started against Qatar. So
Where does he play?
He plays at RB Salzburg. Okay. So he's going to have a difficult time playing against, obviously, better defenders. And so he's, to me, is a player that they just have to worry about. Make sure he doesn't take too many shots in the box. The midfield has to mark him. I think McKennie, I think it's not even about marking him. I think it's really one of those things of we need to just have the ball. We're going to have the ball more, yeah. And the less they have the ball, the less they have opportunities. But I think he's a fantastic player.
I was going to be doing a little hold the play and releasing those other players. Mm-hmm. This is the guy I was talking about.
Okay,
he can absolutely hurt you if he gets like a small, like a little bit of space between him and the defender. So a great choice, and hopefully both of these players are equalized by our defending. And hopefully we just have so much of the ball that we're in their half or in their third.
Yeah,
we ain't even got worried about these.
The other honorable mention, we don't have a graphic or anything, but Esmir Bajaktarevic, who came from.
Turncoat.
Revs. He played on the Revs Academy. He played for the Revs a little bit, and then is now at PSV.
He chose Bosnia instead of the US.
PSV Eindhoven. But he scored the was it the winning penalty? I think it was the winning penalty against Italy.
It was. He's the guy who scored the penalty that got them through.
Yeah. Yeah. So
speaking of scoring, what do you think is the prediction for the final score?
I'm gonna say. I don't think it's going to be a whole bunch of goals, but I don't think I'd be surprised if Bosnia score. I'm going to say 2-0 US.
Okay. I'm going to say 3-1 US.
Okay. Yeah, look, the game against Switzerland, Bosnia's game against Switzerland, they couldn't compete. I mean, yeah. It's not a super super strong team.
Hart plays a big role. We saw that with
Paraguay. This is again, and with all our local news people just giving them all this smoke,
dude.
It's not helpful.
Damn, Tim Howard is now a local news person.
My man, Tim Howard with the weather. What's up, Tim? What's going on?
I'm in the chopper. Traffic is crazy. Don't get out of the plane, Bosnia. All right, we got some comments. What are you guys chatting about? In
yeah,
the
what's
comments,
going
bro?
On? What are you talking about while we're on TV?
USA, Country Road. Yeah,
everyone
sang the song.
This is the song. Country Road is like now sort of become the anthem for the U.S. men's national team.
I was at a bar in North Carolina and everyone started singing. I said, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard of it now.
We've been, obviously, we're on this breakaway tour and we've been, and there's concerts after every watch party. So we've been indulged with plenty of country music.
It's hard to ignore when it's that loud. A lot of people seem to like it.
Shout out to Shaboozy.
Great performance.
And a great performance and Dasha as well. Those were really fun.
Did put on a show.
Yeah,
I'll
give her
that.
We had a good time. Okay.
Germany's private plane was canceled, and they'll have to fly back on commercial. Everybody, Uruguay's travel agent is like, I got this.
They're gonna be like, Germany, you got to fly to Uruguay then to Germany.
Yeah. Both in coach.
We got to do a layover.
Yeah, in Buenos Aires.
In Montevideo.
Learn to play football in Buenos Aires, and then you get to go to Montevideo by boat, by ferry.
Okay.
So my grandfather was the captain of that ferry, by the way.
Look at that. Okay. All right, Skipper.
Yeah.
geography, history, who cares? Sports.
Yeah,
that's
we
why.
Don't need it. You know, we need victories, baby.
All we know is W's in the chat.
Doug.
Okay.
Somebody put knock knock Brosnia and his Govina. Brosnia.
And his Govina. Okay. Let's go.
I'm very confused. Balogun says he has another gear. Does he go into overdrive in the knockout round? I mean, overdrive is cruising, so I don't want that.
You're like a car guy. Yeah. So this is
overdrive is like where you can't accelerate in. That's just cruising. So don't do that.
Maybe go turbo.
No, you know what you do? Hit the Nas button, bro. Fast and a Furious.
I thought you meant like play, you know, Illmatic.
No, yeah. hit that Nas button as well, bro. Are you kidding me?
Feel free. All right.
Yo, Queensbridge got something to say in this World Cup.
All right. We'll be back with more. We got to talk Germany, Netherlands, and all these teams getting knocked out of UEFA. So we'll be talking about that right after this. There it is, an upset for the history books.
The fourth largest upset in knockout stage history.
Germany is ranked 10th, Paraguay 41st, and a big win in penalties. Paraguay score first, and it was looking kind of nervy for Germany for a bit until Kai Havertz scored. But it says Germany have not won a World Cup knockout match in 12 years.
I think there's like an Italian bruja putting a hex on all these European countries.
Yeah, y'all got witch doctors out there in Italy. Sure they grow, I don't know. Bro. No, man, this was quite the game. I mean, this was the first penalty shootout in the World Cup knockout rounds, and boy, I was like,
the tension was
remarkable. I mean, even it started, the underdog kind of scored first in all these games, right? Outside of Netherlands, Morocco, which is not really underdog, but Japan scores first against Brazil.
Yeah.
And then Paraguay scored first against Germany, which is obviously just a shock to start the game. It makes it very, very nervous. So,
I do want to say, though, people were talking a little bit about how, the U.S. only beat Paraguay. How's that taste?
Hey.
How's that feel, huh?
Okay.
You was talking smack. Now what happened? You got smacked.
So easy. I mean, yeah, look, Paraguay, Germany got Comebol'd, right?
Yes, you did, bro.
It is not easy to qualify out of Comebol, and some of these teams that you, on paper, you think, we're 10th, they're 41st.
Yeah, it should be easy.
And it is not. I mean, there was controversy, obviously. We'll talk about the goal that was taken off, the Jonathan Tah goal. But overall, I mean, credit to Paraguay. They were not rattled.
No, but the most important thing you can do once you get to the knockout stages is just stay in the game.
Yeah,
that's it. You stay in the game, and maybe there's a moment of brilliance. There are going to be some teams that are going to attack, and there's going to be some teams that like are going to be too afraid to attack because they don't want to give up all that space, and they're just going to look for those moments of brilliance, and it worked for Paraguay. And you're seeing also the defensive prowess that helped them beat Argentina. A full Argentina, by the way, not like a B squad.
Yeah.
Messi was on the pitch. It helped them beat Brazil. A full Brazil, by the way. This is in World Cup qualifying. These aren't friendlies, and people aren't putting enough respect on what Paraguay has been able to do. Saw here how they are able to sort of stifle you and stay in the game.
That's why the 4-1 result in the first game of the group stage was crazy. That's why it wasn't the U.S. Had a lot of pride in that result. That was a crazy result, and you're seeing it.
Yeah.
And it makes even more sense after a result like this against Germany.
This is my problem, especially the Brits. They don't watch football outside of their country. They have no idea what's happening outside unless it's Barcelona or unless it's a Champions League team, and even then you don't know until the knockout rounds. You just don't pay attention to the sport, especially in Latin America or over here. And now you see the true facts of what these nations can do. It's not just the USA had an easy game. Dog, they bodied a team that just beat Germany in a knockout round.
Yeah.
This is a massive collapse for Germany. And now there's going to be a lot of questions asked. Julian Nagelsmann, was he the right choice? He seemingly put them back together.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, was he the right choice? Did he overthink it? You know?
Yeah. Shout out to Danny Navarro, the travel football fan on socials. But he put out a great video earlier this morning about how unprepared UEFA teams are for the World Cup because their qualification process, like, it's
you're beating Liechtenstein, bro.
I forgot who was in Germany's group to qualify for the World Cup, but
all those people saying it's easy to qualify out of South America.
It's ridiculous.
You're cooked. You're nuts.
Yeah, the group, I believe it was like why it might have been like Slovenia, Estonia, Latvia, like. And it's like,
I don't want to smoke with these countries.
I don't want them either. But I'm saying,
let's be honest.
But when you get out of that group, yeah. you're not like, I'm ready
yeah.
for Lionel Messi
you
and Argentina.
Like, I know. We got to face Brazil. Well, did you see what we did to Estonia? It's not a sentence that's ever been said.
So that's.
Oh, you couldn't beat North Macedonia?
Right.
But you think you're going to beat Paraguay? You right. don't know nothing, bro.
So, I mean, so it says even more about the teams that don't qualify, like Italy not getting out of the.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. So, I mean, look, we're looking at the stats, just 75% possession to 25. And there was just so much of just obviously control of the game. From Germany, especially in that second half, I thought the tactically all the changes that mm-hmm. they made worked because you know in the first half Paraguay didn't have much of the ball, but in the second half they really didn't have much of the ball.
Oh, they didn't do anything. If you look at the XG map, second half was all Germany.
Yeah.
But they couldn't break down this defense. They couldn't get past the goalkeeper, and that at the end of the day is what we've been talking about when it comes to Paraguay. That's why four goals against them was such an aberration.
And
did I use aberration?
It's aberration, but it's
damn,
all good.
in my head I was like, yo, you just did work right there. Like,
the goalkeeper for Paraguay was. Fantastic.
Yeah,
just
unbelievable.
So let's
heal.
Let's talk about the goal that was taken off for Germany. Mm. Paraguay, we're looking at the football tweets.
Orlando Heal deserves his moment. In 2018, Heal was playing amateur football, chasing a dream that at times seemed impossible. Even as recently as last year, he was only a backup goalkeeper at San Lorenzo de Almagro.
Damn.
Sounds like your aunt.
So, he got the because he had such a good game, probably. Sarah Spain, for a friend of the show, she put out a tweet like basically hinting at like this man is very attractive, and we should highlight that.
Oh, I mean, I think this entire World Cup is
we
got some baddies.
Yeah, yeah. What
soccer.
Was it? Was it 18 or 22? Where Yassine Bono mm-hmm. from Morocco, he got the. Hot goalkeeper of the award, hot goalkeeper of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Heal this time. But
okay. That's the importance. So this is what we'd rather talk about.
So
the
controversy, and please, anybody in the chat, let us know what you think. Was it a foul? Was it not a foul? Should the goal have been taken away? I watched it back a whole bunch of times. There was contact, and the only thing
we're seeing the screenshots of it here.
The what we're seeing, especially I forgot who the German player is. I don't remember who the German player is, but apologies. But he clearly
he takes out the goalkeeper.
I say they collide. There is contact.
His arm was both his arms were kind of around the goalkeeper.
I don't think it's 100%. Certain that it is a foul. There is contact. The contact is a part of the game. I think it's quite soft, but this is where I would say that the German player has no real leg to stand on.
This is what I'm going to say, but yes, go ahead.
He's not looking at the ball.
That's it. He's taking out the goalkeeper, even if you don't see him forcibly bring him to the ground, which he didn't.
Yeah.
But your arms are around. It looks like your sole purpose was to disrupt the goalkeeper, and you disrupted him so much you brought him to the ground.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's a foul. And as an Arsenal fan, I know this because it's been called against us because this is a tactic that Arsenal does. So for me, I think this is very clear-cut a foul, so much so that if you go to VAR, you'd have to use your hunch to say it's not a foul. There's no clear evidence that it's not a foul.
I see. I sort of. If this was allowed as a goal,
if he did it like backwards, you could say he was looking at the ball. You'd say, all right,
Heal did not need to fall on the ground because he did not receive that level of contact to fall on the ground. He fell on the ground to let VAR know, hey, I got fouled,
and it
worked because there was a moment between England and Senegal was kind of the same exact thing. Goalkeeper didn't go down,
mm-hmm.
and the goal was allowed. So credit as like working the game or like gaming the system a little bit. Heal did
a massive risk if that doesn't work out. That's why I don't think he fell to the ground.
I think 100% he fell. Not a dive.
He's too good looking to fall to the ground.
I wouldn't call it a dive. It's just a signal to the referees like, hey, there was contact here and I think I was fouled. And the ball happened to go in. So I think it's a I would have been fine if the goal was allowed. I think it's, to me, like you're saying, that it sort of takes a hunch or whatever. I think VAR, I think the call is too, not, it's like not clear and obvious to me to get VAR involved.
The defender's not even looking at the ball. I think it's pretty clear.
And I'm not saying it's a bad call because
clean cut.
There was contact, but it's still, in general, for the future of the game, I would want the VARs to not get involved
that. The rule's been the same, just you can't touch the goalkeeper. Every time you do, it's immediately a foul. They protect the goalkeepers, as they should. But let's talk about Brazil, because they had a massive comeback victory to beat Japan in a game where the first half, Japan, to me, looked like the team that was going to be able to hold on. But you gas yourself when you don't have possession of the ball and you're chasing the ball. I believe at one point we were talking about this at the event, 77% possession by Japan, by Brazil. Brazil, I mean, this victory goes to Carlo Ancelotti.
I think it goes to Gabriel Martinelli, bro.
Let's get
Alexis on camera right now.
What team is he going to play for next year?
You're getting
yourself someone in form.
Get your apologies in order.
Congratulations, Real Betis. You got yourself a baller. Because they take all the form Arsenal players.
Anytime he does anything for Arsenal.
Look, I'll give you this. In the first half, Germany didn't have one shot on target from inside the box. Crazy.
Yeah.
When you think about it. I think that's the first time in like 12 years that they hadn't done that.
Oh, you're talking about Brazil. You said Germany.
I'm sorry. Okay. Brazil. You're right. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Brazil. In the first half, Brazil didn't take one shot from inside the box. First time in about 12 years that hasn't happened. This goal comes from inside the box.
Yes.
This goal comes from a beautiful through pass, a great run, and a great slide of the ball. We've seen Martinelli do this in Champions League at the beginning of this year. We saw him do it a lot more back in the day, like 2023, pre-2023. This, to me, is what the magic of Martinelli does. I don't think he does this enough. I think there's opportunities where he can do this more in his club, but give him his flowers because he absolutely did it in this game. And a beautiful goal, and you saw how much it meant to all the other Brazilians. But for me, Japan, I think, walks away with their heads high, man. They defended absolutely crazy. And I said, and we even said this at the halftime, you know, you can only do that for so many minutes. After the 70th minute, you're gassed. And we saw those moments where Japan couldn't press as hard as they wanted to. Japan couldn't get in those spots. But to go ahead early, I mean, absolutely incredible. Was it Sanso?
Who scored the first goal? Sano. I would say who probably should get some praise and criticism, Carlo Ancelotti. He made the completely right decision in bringing in Endrick in the
taking out Paquetá. So Paquetá's role, if you were watching, was to step deep into the midfield and sort of kind of play a bit of a Regista role, but like shuttle the ball forward. And what was happening is he was pulling him out of the attack. And Japan were sitting with five at the back, so you needed an additional attack. So bring in someone equally as creative as Vinny Jr., probably not on the same level, right, because he's much younger, but someone who's also creative and wants to be flashy on the ball and wants to drive defenders, was sending Japan defenders into fits. Tomiyasu was in the wrong position. He was getting nutmegged. It was crazy.
The pressure on Japan changed drastically as soon as the whistle in the second half blew. Endrick, this was the flaw for Brazil in the first half. They tried to win the game on the ground. And in the second half, they were just literally like, all right, we're bigger than some of these Japanese dudes.
Yeah.
Let's just throw the ball in the air and we'll take our chances there. What happens? Casemiro scores the goal. And just the immense amount of pressure late in that second half, like Japan giving the ball away, and obviously everybody's trying to readjust and focus, and they're not paying attention to Martinelli.
To your point, Mateus Cunha, big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was dropping back into the midfield.
He's not a big guy. What do you mean he's a big guy?
He's taller than the Japanese players.
Maybe by a little bit, but he's not that big.
But he is taller than the Japanese players. But he was falling into the midfield and trying to play like a false nine. Hey, buddy, push up against those defenders, my guy. And when they start doing that in the second half, you can see here, 95th minute. What a time to score, by the way. Gabriel Martinelli's winner for Brazil in the 95th is the latest winning goal in normal time of a knockout stage of the FIFA World Cup on record since 1966.
Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, this is incredible. You put yourself in the right position. I wish
you know, and the goalkeeper, Suzuki, got a hand on it, too.
Where's he from?
Trump's tremendous. After
where's he from? Where's Suzuki from?
He's from Newark, New Jersey. Born in Newark, New Jersey. I mean, I clearly raised in Japan.
Isn't it crazy? I don't know what you're talking about. Isn't it crazy? But it's in your blood. It's probably poisonous. Yeah, I would get checked, but the, a dude from Newark. Losing to Brazilians. Isn't that crazy? And there's mad Brazilians
the
in New York.
The stop against Vinny Jr., the one.
Banged off his hand?
Yeah, and hit the post. God. I mean, but just, he had a couple tremendous, tremendous saves. Where is he? Is he playing in Bologna? I forgot what club he's at. But he had
a playing at Taylor Ham FC.
But it very much feels like, all right, you know, they're gonna the more offers are coming your way.
Suzuki, you're gonna be living the life. But
he's at Parma. Okay,
yeah, he's at Parma.
Parma, Bologna.
He should be playing a chicken pie. You know what I mean? He's from Newark, dog.
Historic club.
Don't forget your roots.
Okay. This was I think we kind of go back to Ancelotti. I mean, the first half shouldn't have been the first half.
Sure, but can we give him credit for making the absolute perfect adjustments?
Yes, I am.
We always talk about doesn't care about tactics and lets the players play. He made the right adjustments, whether it was him or his team. Somebody made the right adjustments.
I give him credit for that, but I have to give him criticism for the starting lineup. Igor Thiago. He puts Cunha as like the
false nine,
and it's like, come on, man, Endrick is right there,
bro. He's a kid
still, but look at the difference he makes when he's in the game.
So you bring him in at the right time. I'm just saying. I'm not upset. What I'm upset about is Paquetá dropping so far back. Play him as a 10, bro. Let Paquetá cook.
I get it. I didn't think it was the right lineup. But let's move on to.
We got to talk about Morocco.
Morocco.
This
Netherlands,
says Morocco, edges past Netherlands, but I read that as edges Netherlands, and I was like, well, you're welcome.
Why would you do that to them?
No, I guess thank you, dude.
obviously, an emotional storyline here.
Is this an upset? In the comments, let us know. Yeah, no. Is this considered an upset? We were having this conversation. It feels like one. And I know Morocco's an incredible team, and they were the better team on the night. I don't think I'd ever see Netherlands bunker down. Sure. That's not the Netherlands way, and this is absolutely their fault. But Morocco, that's crazy, right? Netherlands, a lot of people, I was down on both of these nations, by the way, but you were thinking Netherlands could go a long way. Morocco defeats the Netherlands in penalties and books its place in the round of 16. The fact that this happened felt, in the moment, like, maybe it wasn't so much an upset, but it was a little bit of a passing of the torch in a way. It was like ushering in a new era because the Netherlands felt at moments just like very non-Dutch the way they were playing.
I mean, when you look at possession here, 70 to 30. I mean, if you would have said this.
That's the Netherlands.
Exactly. If you would have said this before the game, that Morocco would have 70% possession on the Netherlands.
I'd say how many players on Netherlands got red cards? That's what I would have said.
So it is kind of crazy. I think this is kind of what we were talking about before with Germany, Paraguay, the preparation going into the tournament. You're not playing. And I guess the comparison for Morocco is like qualifying through AFCON qualifying through CAF, playing in AFCON. This team has very recent experience, a very, very difficult moment.
You're playing finals in every game. That's how it feels in CAF.
Essentially, yeah. And maybe some people may not call it the prettiest of football.
Sure.
But Morocco they were poised. They were confident even after going down in the game.
It felt like they were ready for the moment. You know what I mean? It felt like no one felt shocked. Even when it got to pens, to me it was like, oh, I'm seeing the eyes on the Moroccan players. They're ready for this.
Sure.
And I was looking at the Netherlands players, and this is like a big thing. I always look at how long after the whistle's blown when the penalty is ready to be taken. Mm-hmm. How much longer does it take for the penalty kick taker to go into action? A lot of times you see them breathe. The faster that is, the more confident I feel like that penalty taker is. The faster that is, the more confidence I have that penalty taker is going to take at least a good shot, and mm-hmm. it needs a miracle to be saved. Bro, these Netherlands players were taking a lot of time. And I'm like, now's not the time to be choosing where to go. You should have had that in the walk-up.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing with Germany, right? They were
another, yeah.
Altamare, a couple of players, like, really took their time.
33%. Only 4 of the 12 penalties taken against Yassine Bounou in Morocco's last 3 shootouts have been converted.
I mean, he's a
that's insane.
Fantastic.
This photo is the one of the greatest penalty saves I've ever seen.
This was this, whose shot was this? Not Timber. This was, I forgot which one, that he just caught. Timber missed.
Somerville. He like slid to the side and just put a hand up.
And just put a hand right up. He's like, as we were watching the game, I'm like, he just knew where it was going to go.
But like, in my head, I was like, did that come off the crossbar? Because it's so unlikely that you just palm it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and it wasn't like necessarily a bad penalty. It was high. It was high. It was hard.
It wasn't great.
It was very central. But regardless, Bono was going to stop it regardless of where.
He was in the spot.
He was.
Yeah, yeah.
He just stood there. He didn't even go down.
He just needed to get his hand to it, and he did. I was floored.
Yeah. So,
by the way, that could have been the Canadian starting goalkeeper, man.
Okay,
he's from Montreal.
Alexis is always like, why isn't he representing Newark?
Yo, if Newark, bro, if Newark had a nation,
it's all good.
You know, them boys from the Iron Man.
No, but an extremely emotional part because Cody Gakpo scores the goal.
Immediately falls on his knees,
his,
starts crying.
His teammates all surround him as he's in tears. Obviously, him and his wife lost a pregnancy. Yeah. They seemed like it was quite far along. They named the baby and the whole thing. It was a very sad story. And but you know, credit to him and his partner for just sharing that story and talking about it.
And you know, it also reminds you that I think a lot of times we watch these World Cup games and it's like, how does this make me feel? Does this make me proud as a member? Yeah. You forget that these are people, individuals with their own lives. You almost, it's like seeing your teacher at a supermarket. You're like, what? You're not sitting in the school? You know what I mean? You forget that they're human beings. Yeah, this was a real human moment. And I'm so sorry to the Gakpo family.
Yeah, yeah. And seeing his parents in the crowd, it was just a very emotional moment. Obviously, it's disappointing for Netherlands to lose in the game, but what a story you know, for Morocco and getting that victory, a late equalizer in stoppage time, and then also the shot that Verbruggen stopped, Soufiane Rahimi, the shot he's literally in the 6-yard box and the goalkeeper stops it was one of the greatest saves of the tournament for
we
him.
We talk about the Germany dude just banging the shot off of Paquetá's face.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
All right, we got some comments
what
YouTube.
Y'all saying in them comments?
What y'all saying? Okay, Havertz missing a penalty, Martinelli scoring the winning goal. Alexis, who are you feeling? How are you feeling?
I'm sure. You know who I'm feeling? Christian. Just under the camera. Okay. How am I feeling? I'm feeling like, don't worry about it. They'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Havertz. Havertz made his penalty in the Champions League final.
I'm glad he's going home right now. Save the Achilles. Save the hamstrings.
Okay, Suzuki did well. He's getting a big move to a top club. Nearly saved that Martinelli goal.
He was going in the right spot. If it wasn't for the defender sort of blocking him a little bit, I think he would have got to it.
Yeah. I think Japan, you can't give the ball away. You that game is going extra time. How are you giving the ball away?
This is great. Japan with Mitoma wins this game.
So Mitoma got hurt, right? Yeah. I think early in the tournament.
His ability to drive at defenders, cut in from that left side, heading in.
The counters from Japan were fantastic, lethal. Bro. They were really, really dangerous.
The first goal comes from the regular run of play, though, not just the counter.
Casemiro getting that yellow card, I think, is what would gave like they should Japan should have attacked that more because he stayed in the game, ended up scoring, but he could have easily gotten a second yellow. Yeah.
Japan stopped attacking and gave Brazil too much time on the ball. Shouts to using the S in Brazil.
Brazil.
I think that was a tactical shift from Carlo Ancelotti to bring in Endrick, just caused a lot more havoc.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do,
dude. You know how hard Japan were defending. You can't do that for 90 minutes.
I mean, this is why you got to use them hydration breaks, bro. Like after that second hydration break, like that's it. Figure that out. Change it up. Gaga could replace Suzuki at Parma, meaning
Lady.
Not Lady Gaga. Yeah. Gaga Slonina. Slonina. Yeah. Okay. All right. We got one more. Is that it, or is that the last one?
We'll find out.
We will find out any second.
Or is it just
I think it's the last one.
Okay.
All right. He plays.
He plays at Parmesan.
All right. We saw it. We saw it before it went away. Okay.
It's a good club. Huh? A little salty, but
we love it.
That club is also known as the Umamis.
So, I mean, three wild results, three great games.
What a great day in World Cup history.
Every game was so entertaining. Hopefully, we have more of that today. But we're going to do some previews for the games that are happening, I think, today and tomorrow. We'll do that in the next segment right after this. Come back, folks.
We're back, baby.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's take a quick look and preview some of these games. Two of them happening today and one happening tomorrow. Let's start today with France against Sweden.
The winner gets to play Paraguay.
Ooh.
How about that? I think this is...
Everybody's bracket is busted, bro.
For sure. Let's take a look at this bracket because whatever you thought was going to happen ain't happening. So, Canada versus Morocco is set. You can see there Paraguay moves on after beating Germany in the round of 32. It's still crazy to hear that.
Yeah.
But again, Sweden versus France. This is going to be a big moment for Sweden to see if they can play at this level. But I have a feeling France is way too stacked for them.
Sweden cannot play at this
okay,
level.
Don't say that, because you might have said that about Paraguay versus Germany.
I mean, it is. They are not playing the same way Paraguay is playing. You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
They are not playing with the same chemistry, cohesion. They're not. They're not showing the same level of like desperation. And this is why I think Conmebol teams can be a little bit difficult for some of these UEFA teams. But yeah, Sweden, I think are gonna get. I think are gonna get demolished. This could easily be like a 4-0, 4-1, 5-1. I think France is gonna go nuts, and they cannot be any more excited that this is their opponent.
Look at these names.
I mean, it's all the names we know and love. We watch them every Saturday and Sunday, and then sometimes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in Champions League. But this team is just simply too strong, and Sweden has not shown me pretty much anything that would lead me to believe that they even have a chance in this game.
No, and Sweden hasn't kept a clean sheet in 14 matches, and I feel like I'd make that 15.
Yeah.
This one's going to be a tough one for them. But again, if there's one weakness in France, to me, it's Theo Hernandez, their left back. Sweden is going to have to, use some of these attacking threats, maybe an Isak, mm-hmm. to sort of focus on that side and have hopefully a chance. But look, Anthony Elanga scored in consecutive matches. Is he maybe a little bit of magic out of that midfield? I just think in the end, over 90 minutes, France just has too much talent to sort of put under control in any way, shape, or form. France has to have a really bad game for Sweden, and Sweden has to have an incredible game in order for there to be any chance.
Yeah, Sweden scored all their goals pretty much against Tunisia, and that's why we're looking at the stats of Isak and Jokeres, and that's kind of where they had their fun.
Yeah.
And then they got crushed 5-1 to Netherlands.
Absolutely.
They drew to Japan, which is, I thought, quite disappointing for Japan. But this is, again, I don't see anything to suggest that they even stand a chance here. Best of luck to Sweden.
Yeah.
Hope you have a good time.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed America.
France is France, and yeah. They just haven't shown. They made it to the next round with 4 points and stumbled into the knockout rounds. And I can't imagine they're feeling a ton of confidence.
Who's France went perfect.
Grant Potter's the coach for Sweden.
Try Harry. Maybe he'll do better.
Maybe need a little bit of
some tricks.
A little bit of magic there.
But yeah, France went perfect in their group for the first time since 1998. I mean, they look absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And I don't think they faced really any major competition yet. So at least as far as like on their level. So for me, that's going to be a fun one. But France, congratulations. Let's talk about Mexico versus Ecuador.
This is a fun one.
Can I tell you how I want it to play out? I want Mexico to win because then that means, and I want England to win because then that means England has to face Mexico in Mexico, in elevation and in heat, which they're just not used to. But
our Ecuadorian friends hate you right now.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I get it,
and I love Ecuador, but Mexico. You know what, man? I've been impressed. You know, I think we saw through the last like sort of 2 years of the U.S. and them sort of playing each other. Mexico has sort of started to put it together a little bit. They've started to understand what players need to be in certain positions. Raul Jimenez obviously is a great scorer. Gilberto Mora is getting looked at by Manchester United now. We talked about him about a year ago. We started talking about him. And now the world sees exactly what we saw. So I think, Quiñones obviously scored the first goal of the World Cup. He's looked good. Rangel has looked good in place of Guillermo Ochoa. I think
Ochoa has no
he's
possibility.
Still the backup. Bowman was the starter in previous. So in place
he's
of him,
the number one.
Yes, but meaning he was, you know, a long-standing number one.
Yes, yes.
And you wonder how you move on from such a king.
I will say, I think the important figures here in this game is going to be Julian Quiñones and Brian Gutierrez. I think Gutierrez has been fantastic in this World Cup. And in the midfield, being probably marked by a Moises Caicedo, it's going to be difficult for the Mexican midfield. But if they can conquer that, I think they really have a good chance in this game. Mexico has better attacking options than Ecuador does.
Bro.
So. But you know, Ecuador, I think, is a better defensive team
CF
than Mexico.
Montreal
is.
Has better attacking options than Ecuador. And that's their biggest problem. They're incredibly stout defensively, and they move the ball up the field really well, up the pitch really well. But when you get in the final third, it's like, I don't know what you do.
This is going to be one of those games of, like, home field advantage. Use that to...
the 12th man, if you will.
Yeah, so the Mexican fans, my hope is that Mexico is not down a goal early, because I think that will hurt the level of support in the stadium.
But
so,
can we give them credit? Because we talked about how the Mexican fans can turn on a three very quickly, and that becomes very overwhelming. And that has not happened yet.
It has not, because they've won 3 out of 3.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
But even in those moments where it didn't look great, they didn't turn
on.
They
need this one. And so you got to favor slightly Mexico, but Ecuador, we saw what they did against Germany. Like, obviously, they could do that to Mexico. It's not crazy.
England versus Dominican Republic of Congo. That's what it means, right? That's what the DR means.
yes, obviously.
Yeah, de lo tuyo. Which we're going, this game is not going to be easy for England. I don't think England is playing well. I agree with Mike Grella, something you usually shouldn't say during the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I think England looked terrible in the second half. They didn't look better in the second half. They did find a way to win, and you use the individual excellence of Jude Bellingham. Congratulations. There's talk of him not starting. You're seeing it here. Crazy if that doesn't happen, if this is it. But, hey, you know, you're the coach, Thomas Tuchel. It's your job.
I mean, he did score.
I mean, to me, he provides you with that little bit of maverick you don't have elsewhere, which is crazy because there are a lot of mavericks here. But I'm not so sure England does win. I do want them to win because I think England versus Mexico would be just one of those insane matchups. Is that the Azteca? It would just be legendary. A legendary 90 minutes. But I'd be happy also if Congo go through, because I think they've proven themselves in this tournament to be a team that's not going to go away easily.
Yeah, I could easily see an upset here.
You could easily make a case for a DR.
Yeah, and you know, I think it happened in penalties or whatever.
England in penalties,
the main thing here. I think England have been just quite pragmatic. I feel like they haven't shown
scared. They've not played
enough,
brave at all.
Yeah, shown enough like confidence, style. They're winning, and they got one draw and stuff like that. But it's just like. We watch these players in the Premier League, and you're like, oh, man, why can't you do some of this on the national team? It's just not really happening. So,
I think Ian Wright made a comment that Saka gave his all to Arsenal and doesn't have much left for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's it, man. I just don't think he's being put in a position to do what he does at Arsenal.
It's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, he's not starting.
There's also 11 superstars on this team. So it's really hard.
So it's it's also one of those things of like, They should do better, right? Yeah. Okay,
let's get to do better. What are the comments?
What are the
saying?
Comments saying? The comments are telling us, Cooligans, do better.
Yeah, they've never said that. They love us. What are you talking
Netherlands
about?
Lost on the anniversary of the No Era Penal Day. Let's
go. Retribution.
I love it. Okay, what else do we got? That Netherlands goalkeeper is going to want to chop his leg off. Or wish he would have been small.
Yeah, man. Hey, shorter goalkeepers, put some respect. Shout out to all the
Campos out there. When he kicked it into the goal.
Kicked it himself. Euro teams have really struggled against the bunker. Wouldn't be surprised if England had taken the penalties against Congo. I would also not be surprised. What does MD mean? Maryland?
Congo doctor.
Oh, MD, Dr. Congo. Hilarious. We switched it up already.
Got his degree. Okay. Next up. Man, if Canada pulls off the Morocco upset, they might make a statue for Jesse Mars. That's right. I'm doing this.
Pow, pow. We're him like flipping off other countries, bro. It spins to other countries they've beaten.
Man, okay. What else? We got one more? I think that's it. All right. Everybody, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Another Cooligans Daily Live. We'll be back tomorrow, noon Eastern, as always. We're going to be in San Francisco for the U.S. Bosnia game. So we'll let you know what that's like
out there. Hit the hype button. Hit the bell so you know when we're on live. Yeah. Also, watch the videos we're posting. We're doing as much content as we possibly can. We love you guys.
Te queremos. Bye.